Let's pod this cast.
Not that one.
That's your way round. Yeah. Anyway.
Christmas movies. Oh. It's Christmas time.
La 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 Netflix.
You're right.
This is unusual for some reason. Hello and welcome to If This One Taught Us Anything.
Sorry, I'm just really distracted by your t-shirt. I haven't looked at it in all its glory up till now. It's amazing.
It's a baby metal t-shirt.
I love it.
They did a song called Gimme Chocolate.
It's amazing.
So it's that's Gimme, all. Give me.
Love it.
And then it's all in Japanese except for I Want Chocolate.
And this bit here. But my weight worries me a bit these days.
Yeah. I thought that was appropriate for my anti-diet stance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
Hi, and welcome to If This Film Taught Us Anything, a fortnightly podcast by her, Lorraine Wheatcroft,
and her, Xenia McIntosh,
where we talk about films, what we learn from films, and discuss the many, many questions that pop up along the way.
And we'll play some ridiculous games, get sidetracked, and by the way, there will be spoilers.
So if you haven't seen what we're talking about, come back when you have.
Just come back when you have. Come back later. Welcome to If This One Taught Us Anything, and this week we are going to be talking about Christmas films.
I'm very excited
about this.
We love Christmas films.
Yes. It's my second favourite films after horror films.
Okay. I don't know where it ranks in terms of...
It's Christmas films.
For me...
Yeah, oh, sorry.
I don't know if that's true, but certainly I've watched them exclusively... through December, like pretty much December 1st rolls around and you can guarantee I will just be watching Christmas films, like one after the other,
yeah.
like chain smoking, but Christmas films.
I watched 9 last weekend.
Okay.
And 5 of them were in one row.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really bad.
Wow.
And then the Sunday I went to my mum's, we watched 2.
Right.
And then I watched another 2 at home.
Okay.
Well, oh God, we should explain, we don't mean your blockbuster Christmas films.
So we're not talking about Love Actually, or Last Holiday.
Yeah, or The Holiday, or The Family Stone, or even Die Hard and Gremlins.
No.
Which are all amazing Christmas films.
Yeah, but we're not talking about those.
No, we are talking...
We have a soft place,
oh, yes.
A warm place.
A soft place. We have extremely soft places for...
In other news, we like Christmas films.
Yeah. But our softest place is for the Hallmark-style Christmas films that are on. In Britain, we have Channel 5 that is showing them constantly.
And we have from, November, the 20th?
The Christmas Sky Channel and Christmas 24 and the other... Sony
I don't
Christmas.
Mean November, I mean October.
That was the last weekend in October.
Because they start before Halloween is done.
Yes. I do not watch them until Halloween is over.
I don't start until December. That's a lie.
Oh man, I started.
That's a lie. I tend to start in the last week of November because I try and hold out until December and I can't.
I watched my first Christmas film at the end of the first week in November.
Right.
I watched The Family Stone the second week in November and that is out of order because that is definitely a Christmas weekend type film.
And I watch Love Actually whenever I'm putting up my Christmas tree. Watch Love Actually while I'm putting up the Christmas tree.
So have you watched it already?
No, because I haven't put up my Christmas tree. I put it up on Monday. Because I wasn't going to put it up at all this year.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah,
no, I love them hard.
There's something about them that is not just addictive, but incredibly comforting.
So comforting.
And just wildly entertaining, however fucking awful they are.
Yeah, and it doesn't... They're more comforting and entertaining than any other made-for-TV...
Yeah.
Anything. There's just something about them because we've learned a lot from them.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've learned is that they're the same. They're all the same. But we'll get back into that later.
We were thinking a little bit while I was talking about when there was this explosion in them. And I think it was around the early... It was around 2012.
Okay.
I think that's when they started happening. Like, there were always Christmas
films. Like the Christmas channels, you mean?
Yeah, there were always Christmas films, and there were always Christmas TV films.
Yes.
But it's only in the last 5 years or so that there are dozens of premieres and the same film being churned out over and over and over again with, you know, the same people in as well. Gosh. Netflix are doing it now as well.
Yeah, and they are doing it well.
Oh, they are very quality.
By well, I mean... They're terrible films.
I mean, but I said very quality. I mean, I'm very high quality, but I do not mean they are high quality.
No, not at all.
No. It's very serious.
If Christmas films taught me anything, they taught me that anything can happen at Christmas. Anything.
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 Anything at all.
Yep. Even if you are not in line for the throne, you can totally inherit the throne at Christmas.
You'll be a second cousin.
Yeah. Or adopted.
Yeah, adopted. That changed the law especially for you.
If you are stranded, abandoned, up a mountain, in a ski lodge, plane crash, under the water. I've not seen an underwater one, but
I've
not seen
a plane crash either.
I think, I'm pretty sure I've seen a plane crash. But let's assume that if there was like a submarine disaster film set at Christmas time, everybody's getting home.
Yeah,
everyone's getting home. And also, and this is my favourite trope, that...
Technical.
You can marry into royalty at Christmas immediately.
It's like...
And become queen of a small country.
Oh.
You'll just run into, like, a prince or a princess, for reasons that we'll go into later, just, like, walking down the street.
This makes me really, really, really just want to watch Christmas in Evergreen again. I recorded it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's my first lesson. Anything can happen at Christmas. And it's kind of a massive umbrella one, because I recognise that it kind of covers everything, which is why we've started with it.
Yes, but because it is... This is a point that will often be made in the films as well, though, that anything can happen at Christmas.
Yeah, everything's a Christmas miracle.
Nobody will ever will notice that you've been switched with someone else.
Nope. Nobody will ever, no, you will always find love at Christmas.
Always. Children will get adopted.
Always.
Pets will be found.
Always. Pets will find their way home.
Or they'll find their way home. You'll adopt that perfect dog or half a dozen golden retrievers, as in a golden Christmas.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing.
Oh my God. So anything, that's my first lesson. Christmas films taught me anything, it's that anything can happen at Christmas.
If Christmas films taught me anything, it's that that old man, that old man on the street with the white beard, who may be posing as a street sweeper.
Right.
His name's going to be Chris, spelled with a K.
Probably.
And at some point, a character will do a double take because he just keeps turning up.
Yeah.
And a character, not a main character normally, will do a bit of a double take and be like, hang on.
Unless that main character's Dean Cain.
It normally is Dean Cain.
In which case,
there's a high chance
the main character will be Chris's lawyer.
That's Miracle on 34th Street, though.
It's also multiple Dean Cain films.
There is a Dean Cain one where he's
multiple Dean Cain films.
Someone will do a double take at this street sweeper or... crossing guard or something like that, and they'll go, hang on a minute, like, what is that? And then they'll get distracted. But the old man will have a bit of a twinkle, a little bit of a wink, and you never quite know if he is actually Father Christmas doing a day job for some
reason. Do you not know that? We know.
You never know, but we do know.
No, we know.
Yes, we know, but you never know.
Because his beard will always be the purest of white snow as well. Like, it will be...
And
the whitest of white, and he will be twinkly. And he won't be dressed as Father Christmas, but he's probably got some red on him somewhere.
He'll have a sprig of holly.
Yeah.
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 Aww.
Yeah, or like a red scarf.
We should actually say that these films are not made in Britain, ever.
No.
There are no, there is
never
no
seen
British equivalent
one.
Of this.
No.
We do them. We do Christmas films, but they are like, they'll be Charles Dickens.
Yes.
Or Middlemarch or something.
Yeah.
There is no equivalent.
No,
here.
We do so festive period dramas.
Yeah. So this is all like, these are all American.
Yeah. Or Canadian.
Oh, are they? Oh. Isn't Dean Cain in a lot of Canadian ones?
They're all American.
Yeah.
You can hear the finger quotes. But they're often filmed in Canada.
Yeah, they're
Canada.
Often filmed in Canada. Well, they can't go to Georgia.
Because
they need snow.
Oh. But yeah, there's just... anything can happen in these films. And to build on your point, that random guy in the background of Christmas movies...
Yeah.
He might be in the market, but then when you're in a different country, he's walking down the street.
Yeah.
Or, and not to bring a big blockbuster one in, but like in Love Actually, Rowan Atkinson, that guy is just a little bit magic.
Yeah.
Because he will be in the right place at the right time to help everybody do all of the things.
A shopkeeper.
Yeah.
Or... there's one I've seen a couple of times where it's a man with a horse and cart who turns up at a pony and trap where he turns up, not horse and cart. It's not that's a different thing. He's a rag and bone man. But he turns up with a lovely decorated horse, pony and trap or little sleigh.
Mm.
And this is very separate from man that might be Father Christmas.
Yes. This is just the random stranger, the random helpful
magical
stranger.
Random stranger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or he'll be the resolve in the sort of, I can't find where someone went.
Yeah. Go,
maybe he's over there. Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm going to do really bad American accents all the way through
I'm
this.
Getting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, he's a little bit twinkly.
Yeah.
And there might be bells every time he appears on screen.
Generally male.
Generally male, yeah.
I think I can remember one female, and that was a shopkeeper.
Okay. But yeah, just somebody in the background who's doing slightly magical things. And they're wonderful. Yeah. Oh, I love Christmas.
I really like Christmas. It's just so lovely. So, the next thing that Christmas films taught me is
if
that
Christmas films taught me anything...
I should learn the title of this podcast after 27 episodes.
Mm.
What was it again? If
Christmas films taught me anything.
If Christmas films taught me anything, is that if you have a high-pressure career in the city and you go to a small town for any reason, whether it be a business trip, you ended up there accidentally, you will end up buying the general store and leaving your high-power job.
Slash the cookie factory.
Well, yeah. See, the cookie factory... if we're going to get technical and talk about Christmas cookies, then the factory is actually sold to the corporation, but they promise to keep it as it is and to keep the whole town Christmas themed. That's a twist on the business one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still have
like
yet
Christmas
to
cookies.
See Christmas cookies.
Love Christmas cookies.
I can't find it. I know you do, and I can't
it's
find
one of my
it.
Favorites. I
my
last
favorite
year twice.
Is Christmas window. Do you know that?
No. See, this is the other thing. There are so many of them.
Mm. That you can,
we've been
them.
Sitting here telling each other, have you seen this one? Have you seen? We haven't seen any of
There's
them.
There's hardly
each.
Any overlap
no.
between what we've seen.
Oh, so good.
Because Christmas Window is about a window dresser.
Oh, gotcha.
And the,
oh, my God.
Her dream job is advertised to be like chief window dresser. There's another guy who, you know, he's grumpy and curmudgeonly and.
But
I know. But, you know, it's about the magic of Christmas, but also the career and love and, anyway.
Yeah, you will often find that your career is incompatible with a perfect Christmas.
Yes, often. And the other thing I found, so I was showing Lorraine a tweet the other day.
Oh, this is
that is just the best tweet because it kind of sums up for me, like, my biggest lesson about Christmas movies. It was this guy who tweeted, "As a relatively successful and busy man who lives in the city, my greatest fear is losing my girlfriend to a hometown hunk with a young son who teaches her the true meaning of Christmas."
That's just so perfect.
And that's it in a nutshell.
It's so perfect.
Like, because if Christmas movies taught me anything, they taught me that you'll always find love at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
But it will often be...
very specific ways.
Yeah. It will often have been right under your nose the whole time.
Yeah.
Or it will be incompatible with your career. So when you've stepped away from your career and stepped away from like the hustle and bustle of city life, that's when you can learn to appreciate like the little things, the simpler things in life. It might be the burly grumpy stranger, or the burly grumpy neighbour, or the burly grumpy co-worker.
They're never happy.
Never. Or the burly grumpy co-traveller.
But the one I saw in the poinsettia Christmas, which was about a poinsettia farm.
Oh my God!
The burly grumpy stranger wasn't actually super grumpy. Mm. He was a little bit.
Right.
But he was a botanist.
Of course.
A burly grumpy botanist.
Of course.
But he was the town botanist as well.
That's a thing.
Okay.
That's a thing.
I didn't know.
And also, you have to find love at Christmas. But if you start the movie engaged or in a relationship with somebody, by the end of the movie, you will find that that was the wrong person.
Yeah. But they will also, they'll be happy. They'll be fine
with it. They'll be fine with it. It's, we don't dwell on it.
They
we don't dwell
find
on their
out
happiness.
That they,
it'll be fine.
That they also wasn't actually in love with you.
Yeah.
Or they can see how happy you are.
Yeah.
And they just want the best for you.
Yeah. And if you've been pining for someone, I've just remembered this one. If there is somebody that you have been pining for the whole time, one of two things will happen.
Yeah.
Either, unbeknownst to you, they are also in love with you.
I'm getting chills.
Or, suddenly out of nowhere because of the magic of Christmas,
yeah,
they suddenly realise that actually they're in love with you. So either way, you're going to end up together.
Yeah.
And it might not be the main character who's pining. It's often a side character who's pining. But it could go either way. I've seen it both ways.
Is that the, are you talking about the snowman one?
Have no, because we haven't seen any of the same films.
But there's have you really not seen the one with the girl who makes a snowman with her best friend every year that she's not got a boyfriend? And she always mysteriously breaks up with her boyfriend. Her best friend's a boy. Now, one year, a magical scarf makes the snowman come to life.
We're getting into other territory. Sorry. We're getting into territory.
We got to control ourselves.
A magical scarf.
Magical scarf. It's Jesus. Her mum's scarf.
Of course it is.
But her mum.
Okay, I'm going to go straight on to my next point.
Her mum died a couple of years before.
I'm going to go straight on to my next point.
Yes,
because
if Christmas films taught me anything, if there is any sort of object that has been passed down from generation to generation.
Any heirloom.
Any sort of heirloom, maybe by a dead parent or a dead grandparent. But it also has to only be brought to light after the parent or the grandparent has passed away.
Yeah, that is often found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or somebody's been saving it for the right time.
Yeah.
Often the granddad.
Well, this is the weird thing with the scarfy snowman. The dad was saving the scarf.
No, wait. Because if these films taught me anything, it's that an heirloom that has been saved or hidden, whether it's a snow globe,
hat,
advent calendar,
music box,
scarf, they will be magic.
Yes.
And they will be able to either predict the future,
or
transport you to another realm where you can experience
See, I've not seen anywhere anybody's been transported to another realm because they're often very rooted in this, you know, on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But a wish will come true, and that wish will be that a child gets a parent it's missing. That it snows on Christmas Day.
So you haven't seen the Christmas snow globe?
No.
With the girl from, like, Not My Two Dads. It's literally called A Snow Globe Christmas.
Of course it is.
Called A Snow Globe Christmas. And she... Oh, God! I've just read the synopsis. In a temper, a cynical TV executive tries to smash a snow globe, but instead it hits her on the head and knocks her out. When she comes around, she finds herself married to a handsome woodworker and mother to two young children in a perfect snow-covered town like the one in her globe. I don't even think that that's the one I'm thinking of. Although it does then have...
I really want to see that one.
The magical black best friend, but that's a whole other thing that we need to talk about. So, have you watched the latest one that's on Netflix?
What,
the advent calendar?
I haven't. I'm saving it for this weekend.
Oh, it is so perfectly itself. I can't even... I don't even know where to start. So, the granddad has been saving the advent calendar for the granddaughter, for reasons.
Yeah, and that it will never just be like, they won't know about it. They won't be like, oh, I'll give it to you when you're old enough to not destroy it. Oh, your 13th birthday.
No, it's this, your grandmother wanted me to save this for you until
the right time.
And then they're all cynical because whatevs.
Yeah. What do you mean? Whatevs.
And also this is a giant advent calendar.
The kid will often be like, ugh, this is old fashioned and rubbish.
Yeah. But then it's magic. And it makes Christmas come to life. It makes Christmas be Christmas.
Yeah.
And the advent calendar one literally predicts the future. So whatever she finds behind the door.
Oh my gosh.
That's what will happen to her that's that day. Amazing. So if she finds ice skates behind the door,
she's going ice skating.
If it's a candy cane she finds behind the door, then all the candy canes where she works as an elf, taking photographs of Santa, because of course, they're all going to fall down. But the end result will be love.
Oh, obviously.
Because if these films taught me anything, it's that Christmas is about love.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the birdie stranger.
Birdie stranger. With the handsome
woodworker. Botanist. The town botanist, whoever, that's what they're about.
Yeah.
And that one, oh god, I've just realised. No, it is the right one because it's got Christina Milian. Christina Milian is the lead in Snow Globe Christmas.
Oh my god.
And yeah, it's.
I have not heard her name for a very long time.
And Donald Faison, you know, Turks and Scrubs. He's the magical black best friend, because there has to be a magical black best friend. That's
weird, though, that he's a man.
But it's got a black lead, so they were rewriting the rules from, like...
Oh, that was just crazy.
They just threw the rule books out and did whatever the fuck they wanted.
It was like, was it Opposites Day?
Exactly, because the magical black best friend was the lead of this one.
Oh.
Because she's even got the right hair pattern.
Oh.
I recognise that I disagreed with you before.
Yes.
Because you said...
I said that if these films have taught me anything, it is that you will have a very wise, if not magical, black best friend.
Mm. And I said, no, don't be so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I didn't recognise that as a trope of these films. I waited
for this penny to drop.
Yeah. And then I went away because there has been a week since we recorded the first half of this.
Yeah. So if you've noticed
any sound changes, it's because we are literally in a different venue. We're back on different my sofa.
Time zone.
Yeah, all of that. But in the week since, I've been thinking about it, and you're fucking right.
And I've seen two other films that have got a black best friend with the haircut.
But also, it's a magical black best friend.
Yeah, or it's like, if they're not out and out magical, they do the wisdom thing of...
Oh, that's what I mean by a magical best friend. I don't mean that they are magic.
Yeah, no, they'll just be incredibly wise, and they'll be the one that says, but I think maybe you do love him.
Yeah.
In that sort of voice. Yeah. They go, ha-ha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I realised is that it's a much wider trope.
Yeah.
The whole magical black person.
Yeah.
Is a much bigger thing than Christmas films.
Much, much bigger.
But they really narrow it to...
Oh, it's down to... It's a similar looking person.
Yeah, similar hair.
The hair is always the same. They're always their personal assistant, secretary, editor.
Yeah.
In broad, if it's a broadcasting stuff, they'll be their editor.
Yeah.
And but they're also their best friend, that it's indispensable they have them.
Of course.
Of course it is. Of course. They're so wise. They're saying such wise things.
Yeah, because all black people are wise.
But they will rarely be in the same town. They'll always be on the end of a phone.
Yes.
Or like you often see them on an
iPad. Because black people can't travel.
No. It's just explode.
Yeah. If black people go near snow, out of cities, we can't leave an urban
They can't cityscape, be stranded really. In an airport. Dear God.
Also, because black people are wise and magic, we know better, and I'm approaching another point, I do recognise that, but we know better than to get in a plane or go on a road trip at Christmas.
Yeah.
Because...
What happens at Christmas?
If Christmas films taught me anything, it's that if you get on a plane... Or go on a road trip, or you're the middle son from Home Improvement. I feel like his name was Matthew something.
It's going to be Matt.
If you do any of those things at Christmas, you're going to get stranded.
Yeah.
And probably with a burly stranger, let's face it.
You will often
burly.
Have
I swear
car.
To God, that is not a word I've used we, before we've never used this podcast.
And I can't see any us using it in the future, to be honest.
But with...
But if you are also a woman travelling alone in her car, it will be a slightly rubbish car.
Always.
That there'll be a little scene where your dad or someone goes, I've told you about that fan belt. And then the fan belt will go.
Yeah.
You will risk flying, even though you've been told there's a snowstorm approaching.
Yeah. Because you've just got to get back, because for some reason you've decided you're getting married on Christmas Day.
Yeah, or you have to get back to that farm. The cookie factory has to be, the contract has to be signed on Christmas Eve for some reason, because a lot of business is
A lot of businesses close around Christmas, I think.
There's always a time element
where
they have to be.
Have to.
But the assistant will often be the one going, you should have just, like, why would you travel in this world? I told you that they may have been the one who told them about the snowstorm.
Yeah, because wise.
But then they're wise, but they don't listen to them until the third time they're wise. Every three times they're wise.
Of course not. Yeah.
Speaking of love and finding love at Christmas, you will often, I have learned, if Christmas has taught me anything, you will often find love with it's always the man. I've never seen it where it's a woman with a child.
Not a widow.
But yeah, you will often find love with a widower.
Often.
Who has a child that has to have a bit of extra Christmas somehow.
Yeah.
Because their mum died around Christmas, or this is the second Christmas without her.
Yeah.
So we've come back to this special place.
Yeah.
We've been stranded at an airport because we tried to get to this special place. I am the burly botanist.
Mm-hmm.
They just need a mother figure who's going to do the baking with them, because their burly woodcutter dad, with his big man hands, he can't do any baking. Yeah.
And in the black versions of these films, they also need somebody to do their hair.
Yeah.
Because their dad doesn't know how to do their hair and doesn't know how to use YouTube to find tutorials.
And his arms don't work from the elbows down sometimes.
No, just no manual dexterity. No fine motor.
When they do...
Because burly woodcutter.
Burly woodcutter.
No fine motor control.
But when they do, and it's especially hair things, they go to braid hair or something and then it goes horrendously wrong.
And then like an apple is stuck in it or something.
They throw their hands up and go, oh, I can't do this. And I literally just watch the YouTube again. It's fine. Slow down. Watch the YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. And the children are always just a little bit sassy. I find it's more often a girl than a boy.
Yeah. Oh, very often.
Quite a tomboyish girl.
Who's got the look in her eyes. She's wise beyond her years.
Yeah. And she's a bit sassy, but she knows what her dad needs before her dad knows what he needs.
There will always be a little bit where the kid looks up at the woman and then looks up at her dad and does a little, like, ha-ha, face.
Yeah.
Yeah. You knew.
Yeah.
And now we all know.
Yes, completely.
I mean, we all knew at the credits.
I saw the poster in news, but Jesus. Yeah, I agree. If, sort of going on with the love theme, if Christmas films have taught me anything, they've taught me that all royalty is basically British.
What's your problem?
Now, I'm talking the Princess Switch.
Yeah.
A Christmas Prince.
Christmas Prince.
There's
Crown for Christmas.
Crown for Christmas. I feel like one of the ones that started us off. Remember when we sat and just watched all the princess ones? Yeah, Prince and Me, then the Prince and Me 2 Royal Wedding.
I mean, we know these are all rom-coms. Well, roms. They're rarely the com.
Com, yeah. Prince and Me, The Elephant Adventure. What the fuck?
What? How have we not seen that?
I don't know. Anyway, we digress. All of them have royalty in them.
Yeah.
And they're all American women. There is one where it's an American man. And it's the princess.
Really? Who
is the royalty. Obviously, the princess is royalty. Whether that country is Cordinia. Or Montserrat. Or Windsor. Or Aldovia. Or Moldova.
I love Windsor.
They're all tiny countries.
Yeah.
With royalty. With a monarchy.
With an apparently established... like proper monarchy.
Yeah. And a lovelorn prince or princess who is going to fall in love. And there are none of those rules that seem to be around the British monarchy, even though they are all British, all of them. Yeah. Whether it's Julie Andrews or Jane Asher. I feel like I've seen Jane Asher in one.
Yeah.
Because there's always a Queen Mother just around looking regal.
Yeah, and she never likes them at first.
Never.
But then she comes round and she sees them do something.
Yeah. Always with courageous. The chignon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But always British. Basically British.
Yeah. And the girl will often be the staff. She'll be a maid or a waitress.
Not their maid or waitress.
The crown for Christmas is a maid.
Okay. I'm thinking the Christmas prince. What's the most recent one?
Prince for Christmas.
Prince for Christmas, where she is a journalist.
Oh, yes, good journalist.
She's an online blogger. Online blogger. As opposed to those not online bloggers. What the fuck?
Yeah, those bloggers who just shout out their window.
Yeah.
Lean out the window and say things about craft and what they had for dinner.
So weird.
I'm going to go vegan in January. All that.
Just mental. They always fall in love with the prince. Mm-hmm. And then there's a problem because he's a prince.
Yeah.
But then they're able to bend the rules and somehow the love is allowed to be love is allowed to continue.
Yeah.
And then they get married instantly into royalty.
Yeah. And there's a sort of there's always a thing where the girl will have second thoughts because she doesn't know if she wants to be in that life.
True. True.
So dude, stop being mental. You've got your own helicopter.
Oh
there
my.
Will often be a point, there will always be a thing as well, where they're doing something ordinary, and they're going, oh, but, you know, I'm supposed to be in so-and-so, it's somewhere by 6 o'clock tonight. They go, don't worry about it, I'll sort it out. And then the next scene is there's a helicopter waiting. And she's like, what? Oh my God, this is because you're a prince.
Yeah.
Oh God. Yeah.
But when she does decide that it's not for her and she's going home to small town America, somehow without the press getting hold of it, the prince is able to follow her to there.
And that will be on Christmas. That will be Christmas Eve.
And just like see her through the window. Yeah. It's weird. These films are weird, Lorraine.
They are not weird. They are amazing. They teach us love, what the meaning of Christmas actually is.
Yeah.
Which is apparently love.
Love.
Yeah, in the quantum realm, it's love.
Mm-hmm.
And Endgame, it's going to be love.
Yeah.
And Christmas is love.
Yeah, correct.
The meaning of Christmas. The meaning of Christmas is going to bring everybody back in Endgame.
I can't wait. If Christmas films
have taught me anything.
Yeah.
It's that there are whole small towns that are Christmas themed. They may even be called Christmas Valley, Christmasville, Christmas, or just Christmas, one of them's called. They are around 2 hours outside of every major city.
Yeah.
Because people do seem to pop backwards and forwards. Out where there's mountains and snow all year round, probably. But the whole town will have a festival every single year.
Yeah.
There will always be a Christmas-based industry, whether it's cookies, decorations, trees, poinsettias. The poinsettia one was very specific.
Because we haven't seen any of the same films.
Poinsettias for Christmas is amazing. That's the botanist one.
Right.
And it's been my favourite so far this year.
Okay.
Oh no, the Christmas train was my favourite so far this year.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. Santa's Letters 2 was my favourite this year.
But the
Christmas industry will often be under threat.
Yeah, so I was going to say, or one of the ones that I saw, which was like, I can't remember what it's called, but it was one of the black Christmas films. It was set in a hotel where basically the hotel is kept afloat by what happens in the hotel at Christmas.
Yeah, I've seen this one. Yeah.
yeah. And it's like, and then that was under threat because they were going to close the hotel and turn it into like a corporate something. But she was a decorator and her business was based around decorating this one hotel. And then the grandson, because it's always a grandson or a grandchild, comes in and he doesn't recognise the true meaning of Christmas.
Oh, so he's going to,
I know, shocker.
God,
he was quite grumpy. I seem to remember.
Was he grumpy and slightly burly?
Grumpy and slightly burly.
Did he work in the city?
He did work in the city.
So he was a burly city worker. That's an unusual bit of a twist.
Yeah. I mean,
did he find someone to help him find the meaning of Christmas?
The decorator.
Oh, I'm so shocked.
Because the meaning of Christmas is love.
Is love.
Live. You don't like rom-coms. Why do you not like Christmas films?
I do not like romance. So, like, generally, I don't like it at all.
Right.
But there is something about these films that I just need to know whether she gets together with the Burley woodcutter. Who knows? You know, you start out these films, you never know if they're going to find the meaning of Christmas.
Don't you?
You don't know if you're going to find the cookie factory, you know, if that's going to be fine.
Have you seen the one that's a Cinderella Christmas?
No.
It's got the girl off Hollyoaks, and she lives with her uncle, and she's got an events business. And she has been running it with her cousin, and all she wants for Christmas is the events business. I feel like that's quite an ask for a present, but sure. Mm. But her cousin, who's lazy and a bit shit, basically asks the uncle for it for both of them, and then blackmails her into... It's really quite something.
This
blackmails her... It's not at all. It's ridiculous. Blackmails her into doing whatever she wants, so that as soon as she finds love, then the girl from Hollyoaks can have the business.
So she's going to find a husband and give up the business?
Yeah.
Oh, that's progressive.
Yeah, exactly. So then the girl from Hollyoaks like goes to get her dress, and it's the woman, magical woman in the shop who makes dresses, because they live in a tiny town, has seen her around, and just from like eyeballing her makes her a perfect dress.
Ah. Was the dress already waiting for her?
Yeah, because she's gone to get it. Yeah. And the girl, the cousin can't go to the Christmas party because she's she's had a chemical peel.
What?
That's gone really wrong. So she can't go.
This is new.
But this is that's what tipped me over the edge. Elements. So it hasn't. It really hasn't. The plastic only thing surgery. Is that they've put a... No, just a chemical peel. No.
Is that not plastic surgery?
No.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
No, just like a beauty... thing.
But it's made her go red.
It's made, yeah, I think like the top layer of her skin's come off or something, I don't know. But anyway, the guy in that who's like billionaire,
yeah,
like mogul type person, his mum just wants him to find love.
Oh.
And he can't have his like inheritance or...
Oh, until he's
married.
Until he's married, yeah.
But his best friend is black. He's got a wise black best friend and they go jogging.
And does he...
And his wise best friend says to him, like, yeah, but you keep choosing the same woman.
Yeah.
That's why you can't find love, because it's
the
same woman.
You've got to choose someone different.
She's someone different.
And
then in the ball, he chooses her stocking. There's a whole thing with stockings. He chooses her stocking.
Exactly,
it's a love match. And then reasons and shenanigans and then love.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
And then does the best friend say at all, like... I knew you liked her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see it in your face.
Yeah.
Or they go, you love the girl.
Yeah.
For God's sakes.
Yeah. My dude.
My dude.
Because black.
My friend.
That's how I speak. My
friend.
Dude.
And then they fist bump.
Yeah.
Normal.
Mm.
If Christmas films have taught me anything about romances.
Yeah.
Is that there will be a misunderstanding about 3/4 of the way through, I want to say the film, but we know it's real life. You know, about
3/4 of the way through your real life,
your relationship, the beginning part, there'll be an interrupted kiss where someone walks, it's like a bit of a hover,
right?
And then shortly after that, there'll be a misunderstanding where your brother or sister is mistaken as your boyfriend,
yes,
family member is mistaken.
I didn't know where you were going with this, yes.
There will also be, there will maybe be, another woman or man on the scene, but they step away gracefully. But in the process of stepping away gracefully, they will be seen hugging.
Yeah.
So I think I've seen that a good half a dozen times.
Yeah.
So then the, you know, the love interest just starts to leave.
Yeah.
Like, well,
yeah.
I'm just gonna...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's rom-coms generally.
It is. Well, I mean, these are rom-coms generally. With
but...
Holly, you know.
Yeah.
Generally with more slaves.
We're writing films again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always this, but it's solved so quickly. Like, they will often just see them and run after them. And go, oh no, that's my brother. Or they're on the doorstep, they'll go, oh no, well, okay, I'm
going
to go.
Or the
and
kid
go,
solves
no, I'm
it.
His sister. Yeah.
Or the kid solves it. Like,
that it won't, no one's heartbroken for very long.
No. No, no.
There's no, like, actual distress.
No.
But also, as a sort of a an extension of this. If there is an engagement ring to be given, it will often get stuck on someone else's finger.
Or a wedding dress will get torn.
Wedding dresses will always get torn.
Something will go wrong around the arrangement, and it will be because of a jealous friend or a jealous sister or... But that kind of brings me on to my next point, which is like a subgenre of the Christmas film, which is the Christmas family film or the ensemble family Christmas film.
Yeah.
Which is like they have their own set of rules.
Yeah.
Explain. So if ensemble Christmas family films taught me anything, it taught me that families are really fractured. There will be at least 4 or 5 children.
Yeah.
And they'll be scattered around different parts of America.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some reason, because it feels like they don't come home every year.
No.
But this year they have to come home for Christmas.
Yeah.
Because they have been summoned for some reason.
Yeah.
But there are at least 2 siblings who are at war. But one of them's fairly miserable in their own life. Generally.
I mean, let's be like, it's not going to be an actual serious war.
No, it will be about like, because you borrowed my top when you were...
You got mum's recipe.
Yeah, yeah. And if mum is already dead...
Which she normally is.
Then they have to find her recipes or find her something. And it's the finding of the thing that will then bring them back together.
They have to rediscover their mother.
But... if mum isn't already dead, she's probably dying.
Yeah, I mean, I think the last couple, we've actually just talked about the family stone, haven't we?
No.
Misunderstanding the brother, stuck engagement ring. But I feel like that's a blueprint film that a lot of these films are just watered down versions of.
Sure. Oh.
That's what this is, actually. But yeah, all of these films are like, they've just taken the best bits of The Family Stone and just whacked it into...
I mean, did you read the thing... Have you watched The Princess Switch yet?
Vanessa Hudgens' one? No, this
You're saving the Netflix ones.
Yeah, I'm saving the Netflix ones. So, the best
I read a thing where they were basically like, The Christmas Switch had been written by the Netflix algorithm.
Yeah.
So it was all of the things that everybody loves in all of these films... thrown at a film. So you've got switching places, you've got a royal family, you've got baking, you've got Vanessa Hudgens, you've got a good looking prince with an English accent, you've got a black best friend, like all of it, and they were just like, oh.
But then I don't think we've spoken about the subgenres yet, have we?
No, so that's where I was starting, like, because that, I think the ensemble family one is a specific subgenre of the Christmas film, which has its own set of rules.
Yeah.
I mean, I did see one which fucked about with the rules. So the miserable sister's husband then had an affair with the shopkeeper.
There was an affair.
There was an affair in one of them.
An actual affair.
But it's okay because she was a sharpshooter, basically.
Wow.
And she shot him out of the house.
What? Some of these films are absolutely bizarre.
Really weird. Really weird.
Bizarre.
And that one had Danny Glover in. It was weird. It was proper weird.
Danny Glover's racking up his Christmas films.
Yeah.
Because The Christmas Train, which has got Danny Glover and Dermot Mulroney.
Wow.
I know, so Family Stone.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of like nearly A-listers.
Yeah.
I mean, Danny Glover is, but I don't know if I'd say Dermot Mulroney.
Yeah.
Maybe a few years ago.
So yeah, I feel like those films have their own rules.
Yeah.
Another subgenre of the Christmas film / subgenre of American filmmaking generally is the black ensemble films.
Yeah.
I don't understand why TV. It is TV.
It is TV, yeah.
Because we're talking primarily about made for TV films.
Yes.
We're not really talking about the big blockbusters, although we've sort of slipped into it here and there.
I think it is unavoidable because of they are just
that rip-offs of down. Yeah. So, but I don't understand, and I've never understood why TV in America is so divided. Why you can have black ensembles and white ensembles, but you don't have mixed ensembles. And I remember watching The Cosby Show when I was little and being like, I don't understand.
Mm.
I don't understand. So, the Black Christmas films are slightly different again.
Yeah, and it is a whole stream of films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of soul food in them. There's a lot of recipe-based stuff.
Who is their best friend? I mean...
A black girl.
It's still a black girl.
Still a black girl, yeah. There'll be a token white person in it somewhere in the background, often at the end of a phone.
They're always right there at the end of a phone.
But it's still... Although I feel like in the Christmas Snow Globe, the best friend might have been a white girl, but I can't remember. I was there for Donald Faison, let's face it.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, I miss him.
What's another subgenre of Christmas films?
There are some really specific, like there's The Stranded.
Yep.
There is Road Trip.
Yep.
There is Business, which will be saving a business.
Yes.
Or business person is at the centre of it. There'll be a business theme.
Yeah.
They sort of merge. Stranded can turn into Road Trip.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And like a business can turn into Stranded. Business often turns into Stranded because they go to sign a contract to see a site or something.
Okay.
It snows them in. They can't get home. What the fuck are they going to do? They're going to have to stay there. They rarely turn into a road trip.
Okay.
I can't remember them ever turning into a road trip.
Okay. Wedding.
Wedding.
Often turns into Stranded.
Stranded, yeah. And broadcasting. There are a lot of TV shows.
Online blogging.
But there's the amazing Broadcasting Christmas, which has got Mario Lopez and Melissa Joan Hart in.
Uh-huh.
Which is a very special one. They're in competition for a job on a live TV show.
But that's another subgenre, the competition.
Competition is another. So it's... Yeah, but that one is very broadcasting. Broadcasting, journalism, publishing.
Yeah, but I feel like a new one.
Yeah.
Is the baking.
Yeah.
Subgenre, and I don't know whether it's just because everybody loves the Great British Bake Off.
Yeah, they did feel more recent.
But now there is like in the Princess Switch, she's a baker and she has to go to Moldova, Aldovia, whichever European country it is, for a baking competition.
Because they're known for their baking competitions. International baking competitions.
I saw another one where it was in a bakery.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing a baking competition to find out who could own the bakery.
Oh, that's... No, that's not Christmas Cupcakes. Because Christmas Cupcakes is the one where they've got the really weird... the fake Italian accents and the uncle lives in the basement.
Yeah.
It's like, what is that film? Yeah. That film is so... That one is bizarre.
Yeah. Then there's the competition for Christmas Windows.
Yeah.
And I feel like, going back to one of your earlier points, it's rare that Christmas can occur in a big city.
No, you don't know the meaning of Christmas in a big city.
No.
You can't learn it until you go to small town America.
Yeah.
2 hours outside of a city.
And even if it happens in the city, then somebody there is from a small town.
Yeah.
Who has brought the meaning of Christmas with them.
Yeah, because back at home we had these cookies or something. But also, there is a thing as well that if someone is going away somewhere tropical to get away from Christmas, they will get stranded. Do not try and get on an aeroplane. If you are going to Florida...
No, don't try and get on an aeroplane. Just...
You are not going to learn the meaning of Christmas in Florida.
And even more, if your plane is cancelled, don't try and drive there.
No.
Like, you're done.
And if you go for your rental car...
Yeah.
There's only going to be one rental car and you are going to have to share it.
Of course you are.
With that businesswoman.
With Melissa Joan Hart.
With Melissa Joan Hart, who is going to the town that you are also going to.
Yeah.
Because her family are from there.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
yeah. So good. I think that is actually it.
I think we have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, there is some movie time issues in these films.
Always.
That,
there
I
is also
like...
some movie logic issues in these films.
I saw one that had... if Christmas World taught me anything, it's that you publish a magazine 2 weeks before. If you are doing Christmas, you publish it on about the 17th of December.
Right.
And it's fine.
Okay.
You've got to get your articles in about the 10th of December.
Right.
So I understood a lot. I've learned a lot about publishing.
Okay. If these films taught me anything, they taught me that nobody goes to school.
No, everybody's got a lot of free time around Christmas from around the first week in December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just snows constantly from the first week in December
right
through Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that to be majority of America anyway.
Yeah, totally. Texas.
Except for Florida. That's tropical. And if you go there, you don't know the meaning of Christmas.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's what Christmas films taught us. We are probably done for the year. Are we done for
the year? I think we are done for the year. And I think if... I think this will be released probably after Christmas.
Shortly after Christmas.
Shortly after Christmas, so...
I'm aiming for Boxing Day.
Yeah, so Boxing Day. So have a good Christmas if that's what you're doing. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And we'll be back in the new year with more episodes. Thank you for coming along for the ride up till this point.
This is like our 7th or 8th. I've just lost count.
I think we can both agree that we are genuinely baffled by the fact that people are listening to us.
Yeah. And we're genuinely baffled by how we've managed to keep going.
To keep going, yeah. So I think we're going to have a short break.
Yeah.
But then we'll be back with more episodes and more film chat. Until then... thanks for listening. Bye.
You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Deezer, and a couple of others I've never heard of.
Want to talk to us? You can find us online at www.ifthisfilm.com, on Facebook, facebook.com/ifthisfilm, on Twitter and Instagram at If This Film. Subscribe, leave us comments, come talk to us. We'd love to hear from you.
If This Film Taught Us Anything is produced by Xenia McIntosh.
The theme music is Epic Song by Boxcat Games.